Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And by links to our company in Massachusetts as well. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's a guarantee of ours to you. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And in today's very competitive real estate market, if you're looking for a home, you want to make sure that your offer is as strong as possible. The strongest, obviously, is to plop the cash on the table. Not many people can do that. The pre-purchase commitment is the exact equivalent, because when you walk in with your offer, it says that you are committed for that loan, which is as good as cash in the eyes of the seller. So please take advantage of that, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700, for very personalized, very customized service that will knock your socks off. And check out that low rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. We have a local number in each market. Here in Western New York, it's 716-631-4800. If you drive by a house with a sign on it, all you have to do is get the street number. And then you plug that in when you call. It'll prompt you to ask you that street number. No matter whose listing it is, the hotline will give you a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. It's the only service of its kind. Take advantage today. And it's a lot easier and faster than even going to your web and going to your phone and Googling of an address. It's that fast. We are a very active real estate market right now, and it's very exciting in some respects. It's also kind of discouraging sometimes for buyers because the inventory is low across the entire country, and that's no exception. There's no exception here as well, which means that if you are a seller, you want to contemplate this a little bit, because probably never before in history have values been as strong as they are today, just because the inventory is low. And so if you've got a house that you are considering, even remotely considering selling, you want to know what it's worth. So what you want to do is talk to one of our sales professionals, our real estate professionals, that will really help you to determine if this might be the right time for you to sell. And I would encourage you not to be terribly worried about the "where will I go" syndrome, because there's lots of options out there, perhaps more than you think, and it may be a time for you to just take some money off the table, particularly given what's going on in the financial markets today. Real estate is still strong, and it's, in my mind, it's getting stronger. Every indicator, in spite of what's happening in the equities market, which I believe is a momentary thing, not that momentary, but not for the rest of our lives, let's say, it's something that will pass, fortunately, because of the state of modern science and modern medicine. I believe that those people working on this issue will find a solution in the short run future here, and this will all be in the rearview mirror. But in the meantime, take advantage of the market as best you can. What you want to do is talk to a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent, because they'll be able to say this to you: we will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. So if you're thinking about selling your home, it's as good as sold. So call someone today from Hunt Real Estate ERA at 633-9400. Stop into one of our many open houses this weekend. Hunt Real Estate is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. We are broadcast live on WBA 930 AM, and I learned recently you can hear us on FM as well at 98.5 HD2. So if you want a little different sound quality, try that. And also, if you're outside of our area, or you have friends outside of your area and you'd like them to be able to tune in, WBEN.com. You can listen live anywhere on earth. And if you want to join us on the show today, our very special show, call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, star 930 if you're mobile, and you can always text us at 30930. And everything's free when it comes to contacting us. As I said, we have a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is a member of the New York State Senate, Robert Ort. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Peter. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Thank you very much. Rob, many people may not know where your district is in the United States, or the New York State Senate. What is your district?
Sure. So my district, from a number of states, District 62, so that district encompasses all of Niagara County, all of Orleans County, and the western portion of Monroe, the towns of Ogden and Sweden, so Spencerport and Brockport, for a lot of people, you know, to give them a sense of where it is. So really between Buffalo and Rochester.
Along
Lake Ontario.
Which is great. We're having a little bit of a focus in the next couple of weeks on our northern neighbors, Niagara County, because sometimes it's a bit overlooked. I think, and you know, the focus has always been on Buffalo, the Buffalo Billion, the Buffalo
sure.
this, the Buffalo that. And we've tried to, many of the business community have tried to expand that by referring to our region as Buffalo, Niagara. How do you feel about that kind of direction? Is that a good thing? Or does Niagara County, I mean, there's kind of a chauvinism up there, and I might be wrong about that, but it seems like, you know, for a long time when I was growing up, there was like a canyon between Erie County and Niagara County. How do you feel about that now? Have we done a good job of bridging that gap and making it more of a regional outlook?
I think that there's certainly no question. I mean, in my lifetime, as I grew up, you know, you would always hear Buffalo, Niagara, right? That was always almost in the sentence. People just got used to saying the Buffalo, Niagara region.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our, there's been a lot of organizations that have popped up that have taken that approach as well, you know, taking that regional approach. I think, but at the end of the day, there's no question there are differences. So I was mayor of North Tonawanda. I grew up in North Tonawanda. And I always tell people, you know, the Tonawandas were sort of a unique communities unto themselves. So the city of Tonawanda and North Tonawanda, right on the canal, I think probably
in
felt
the town of Tonawanda.
The town of Tonawanda probably felt sometimes more like a community together than they did part of the larger counties which they belong to, right? I mean, they're almost so there's always those regional differences at play. And certainly I think over the last several years, when you've seen the growth in the city of Buffalo, you know, and you know, downtown, the harbor, a lot of positive things, I think that has made it maybe a little more challenging, because what we want to see is that same kind of growth in Niagara Falls, specifically, right? The largest city in Niagara County. We have seen positive growth in North Tonawanda. We've seen some things in Lockport, but there's room to grow in North Tonawanda. So I think there's always that, maybe that little, I don't want to call it a rivalry a little bit, but I do think it's important for Niagara County to continue to grow on its own, not just be part of Buffalo and Niagara, but also to have its own sense of identity and its own economic growth and advantages. They're there, but they need to see them through a little more fully.
It's interesting, Niagara Falls. There's news today about the regional billion, another billion or something, and how it's going to be invested in Niagara Falls. And I want you to comment on that in a second. But it seems like throughout this momentum that we've felt that Niagara Falls has been kind of left out of that in many respects. There's various reasons for that, which I'd like you to explain from your point of view. But your own experience in North Tonawanda was an interesting experience in terms of just kind of getting a new focus on that community, which was, I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, North Tonawanda, I knew it was someplace north, but I didn't know exactly where, and I don't think I'd even been there till I was out of school. So what did you do there, and how do you take a look at the Niagara Falls in particular, the rest of Niagara County, and see how that can emerge even more than it has up to this point in time?
Sure. Well, when I was mayor for 5 years, and when I came in there, there were some advantages that we had. Obviously, it's a double waterfront community. You're on the canal and you're on the river. And as we know from Buffalo and a lot of other areas, people want to be on the water, right? They want to go to the water, whether it's for recreation, whether it's to live, whatever it might be. And those are real advantages that you need to capitalize on. And much like a lot of Western New York, growing up, NT, you know, there was a lot of manufacturing on the water, but I don't think a lot of people were... It wasn't accessible in a economic or tourism or recreational way, and a lot of that groundwork had been laid when I took office. We had a great council, I had a great governmental. Everybody was pulling in the same direction. That's very important. in any whatever the size of the city, if you have sort of a unified vision economically, doesn't mean you don't disagree, but you can get there. I think that's very important because, and we'll touch on that with, I think, in relation to Niagara Falls. But basically, we tried to get the word out that North Tonawanda was open for business and that we were a community you could come into and invest, and you know where business was welcome. And as you know, in Western New York specifically, the real estate community, the investment community, the builder community, it's a small community. They all talk. And you're going to know if somebody has a bad experience somewhere, they're going to tell other competitors, colleagues, whatever, hey, you might want to steer clear of that place because it was a nightmare to do business there. Conversely, if it's good to do business, you will also share that message. And we saw a real uptick once the Kissling and the Remington Rand project came in. Tony Kissling spent, you know, I think it was like probably at least $15 million of his own money. Obviously, there was some borrowed money in there as well. But the bottom line was, when you have a New York City developer who's willing to put in that kind of money, I think it caught the attention of other people, including from Western New York, that said, what does he know that I don't? You know, what is, I want to get in there. And over time, it got to the point where we didn't even have enough spots for people who wanted to be downtown. And now we have a development along the river, and sort of the downtown corridor is starting to expand. So it's just been a continuation of growth there and a positive growth. And to your point, I think it's changed for some people. The first time they went to North Tonawanda might have been to have dinner at Webster's or at the Remington Lofts or, you know, Remington Rand there. So, you know, or Dockside, wherever you're going. And so if that's your first image, that's a positive. You can rebrand a community as inviting and maybe a different place than you thought it was. Niagara Falls, I think, you know, for the better part of my life, I'm 40 years old, has always, you know, has been on a downward trajectory, right? They've had a shrinking tax base, which is problematic because when you have a shrinking tax base, you know, that impacts your revenues. It impacts your ability to grow a little bit. There's been a lot of governmental issues in Niagara Falls. I think they have been unable to get unified and be, you know, move the city forward in a positive way. So there's been some self-inflicted challenges. And look, at, you know, there's been there's housing stock issues. I mean, you go to downtown Niagara Falls around the casino, and the casino went in 2002, I think it was. And the city had received, now of course there's a dispute right now and they're not receiving money, but for over a decade, I think they received, you know, just shy of $200 million. And you would be hard pressed to sort of say where that money is, where it went, right? I mean, because the city outside of the casino doesn't look all that different. There's been a lot of hotel development, but most of that has come from the state. You know, the incentives have come from Niagara Falls, USA, has come from ESD. And so I always say, until people are willing to invest their own money, you know, I'll always play with house money, right? It's easy to invest someone else's money. But if you're willing to invest your own money into a community, that's when I think you can say the community has turned a corner economically, when people are willing to put their own money in because they believe they're going to get it back.
Let's look at the development issues, that kind of the infrastructure issues that began a long time before you or I were either anywhere near involved in all this. For example, all the highway system, the Robert Moses effect, so to speak, and how all of a sudden these highways were plunked down, in many cases right along the waterfront, which in my mind destroyed a lot of the development opportunity, and almost forever. A countermeasure recently has been the Greenway project. What do you know about that, and what's its status today? Because there hasn't been much news about it.
So I know a lot about the Greenway because North Tonawanda was also part of the Greenway along the river there, and there was there's been a lot of funding that has gone into communities in Niagara County as well as Erie that came out of that agreement and those funds that were set aside to basically, you know, bring people back into touch with one of our most precious natural resources here, which is access to the water. I think, you know, Robert Moses, for those that have not read The Power Broker, it's a it might take you a year or so, as it did myself, but it's an interesting read, and there's a whole chapter in there specifically dedicated to Niagara County and Western New York and the Power Project and all the work that went on there. But There's no question. I think what you, as you see, the Robert Moses parts of it are being taken out in Niagara Falls. There, that's a positive. I really do believe that that Niagara Falls should be connected to the Niagara River. I mean, it only makes sense that you would have access to there. And also, there's been a lot of evidence that shows when you put a highway right past your downtown, just like the Skyway in Buffalo. I mean, there's a kind of a counter similar narrative there. It doesn't help your downtown, you know, from a viability standpoint, from a long-term growth perspective, because people are just going to whip by it now. So all those businesses and shops that used to be the lifeblood, there's this highway that, you know, just drive, you know, brings people past there. And so I think to the extent you can drive people into your downtown, that's always a positive. And I think Niagara Falls is certainly going to be trying to do that with the Moses, part of the Moses being taken out. The reality is there's a piece of it that probably can never be taken out, because for the people in Lewiston, that's how they now get to where they're going, right? So right. So you got to sort of deal with realities today as well. But I think that that's been, there's no question, that was for a long time, I think, a negative impact for both Niagara Falls and Western New York as a whole, because you had this city, you know, named after, you know, one natural of the wonders. Natural wonders of the world. And yet you plunked a highway, you took away property, and basically drove people right past it. And I don't think today we would say that was a positive thing for that community.
I couldn't agree more. You did your thing in the city of North Tonawanda, and then you decided to go on to the state. What drove you to want to go into state politics, given particularly the party you're in,
and sure,
and the emphasis that is in Albany these
sure.
days?
Well, even when I ran, we were in the majority, but every election cycle you didn't know if you would be in the majority after the dust cleared. In fact, when I first ran in 2014 for the state senate, the assumption was that we were not going to be in the majority. It was only as the election season progressed that we thought we maybe had, you know, had a chance, and we ended up holding the majority that year. But I actually had no desire, you know, when I was mayor, I had no desire to go to Albany. But I will say, as mayor and in local government in New York State, from a day-to-day standpoint, I realized how much of an impact the state government had on my life as a mayor, on my constituents' lives, on business, far more than the federal government, actually. You know, from a day-to-day, you know, from a regulatory standpoint, from a law, you know, legal standpoint, just overall, I would argue that if you asked any business in New York, any local supervisor or mayor, and maybe by extension, running, you know, everyday people, the state government comes into contact with their lives far more than the federal government did, and sometimes not in a good way, right? Sometimes it is what it is, but a lot of times I would see ways that I thought, you know, that's having a negative impact on our ability to grow as a city, or a negative impact on that business's ability to grow. And so when the opportunity presented itself, when the seat came open and I was asked to run, it was, even though I still had, you know, maybe some hesitations whether it was what I wanted to do, I knew that someone in that seat that understood local government, that understood working with local businesses and trying to get, you know, growth in Western New York, it was important to have someone in Albany speaking from that perspective and not just someone who only knew Albany or had never done those things. And so,
you know, it's interesting. You talk to people in the business community, and without exception, somewhere in the conversation, whether it's stated this way or not, the phrase "all roads lead to Albany."
Yeah.
When it comes to really the impact on the business community, jobs, population growth, you can take it from there. Mm-hmm. How have you found since you've been going to Albany, are beyond kind of the high profile Buffalo Billion kind of discussion, how do you find the attitude towards Western New York and really all of upstate when it comes to understanding that we have a competitive issue here in business, taxation, et cetera? How do you find, the consciousness about that, and what's the dialogue like these days?
Well, the dialogue has changed since I've been. I mean, this is my third term, but because of the change in political leadership in the Senate, you know, with the Democrats having the majority and basically having one party rule now, the dialogue has definitely changed from 2014 or 2015 when I first took office until today. And much of that has, I think, as much to do with philosophy, but is also with geography. So much of the Democratic leadership, at the end of the day, is from New York City and from downstate. And as you, are, I think, are intimating there, that the economy down there is very different. And, you know, the impacts. Our economy, you know, even at, right now, even when it's doing well, is very, I think, susceptible to any sort of setback or change. You know, it's very fragile in a lot of ways. We know the New York City economy, you know, always seems to sort of truck along regardless, right? It's just a different animal, I think, globally, right? I mean, I think, you know, it's like comparing Silicon Valley to the rest of California. It sort of has its own engine with Wall Street and a lot of company headquarters. You know, our economy is built much more off of small business and, you know, smaller companies and entrepreneurs going into business. And I don't think the dialogue today is, it's worrisome. It's worrisome because I think that there is a lack of understanding. A lot of folks will say, well, maybe we just throw some money up there. That'll be fine because that's what they really need. They don't have a lot of money. And I think that really misses the point and misses the appreciation for what we need and what we're looking for. We're not just looking for, you know, gobs of money. I think people are looking for a better business climate and a climate that, you know, respects Western New York, upstate New York, whether it's our farmers, whether it's small. I mean, because, you know, Buffalo is one part of upstate New York, Rochester, Syracuse, but other areas too.
I want to come back to that because I think you're starting to get to the heart of the matter here. And I also would like to see if any of our listeners are interested in participating in this discussion, because I think it's central to the future of our community. And we'll be right back with more from our house cheers after these important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. Mortgage rates have recently dropped, and now is an ideal time to purchase a home and lock in a low rate. If you're already a homeowner, let's discuss your current mortgage. There may never be a better time to reduce your rate or access the equity in your home by refinancing with Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 for a free, no obligation consultation.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And by the way, if you ever missed one of our shows and you want to check it out, or even if you missed part of today's show and you want to go back and listen to something in particular, HuntRealEstate.com is where it's at. Our blog has all of our shows, and as of Monday, this show will be there as well. And it's the only place in the web where you can also find a complete inventory of homes available here in Buffalo, Niagara, and all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. You'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our exclusive program that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before and live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. You want to do that, particularly if you're on a budget, because the fact of life is when a lot of our housing stock is beautiful older homes, beautiful architecture, but the fact of life is when you open up a wall, you never know what you're going to find. And this process allows you to know what you're in for, because you have to get all the estimates before you close. All those costs are rolled into the mortgage. It's a great program. Buy the before and live the after. Also ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan that are available only through Hunt Mortgage. And if you just want to pick up the phone, ask a question about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Real Estate ERA Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America, 633-9400. Ask one of our customer service reps whatever it is on your mind, and we'll either try to answer it right there or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. Remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan, and our guarantee does stand. I'm in the studio today with a very special show for you with Robert Ort, who is a member of the New York State Senate representing Niagara County, Orleans County, part of Orleans, all of Orleans, and part of Monroe. So all along Lake Ontario, and it's a very important part of our state because, among other things, it's also one of the most beautiful parts of the world, and one of the natural wonders of the world is there. And it never ceases to amaze me. Way back when I got out of school and we're looking around this community, and at that point I suppose we're kind of on the wrong kind of trajectory, but my friends and I would sit around and talk and say, how could we blow this? look around. This is magnificent here. And we'd chosen to come back after going away to school, coming back here, because there was the perception that there was so much upside. Mm-hmm. And I look at we were talking about Niagara Falls before the break, and I look at Niagara Falls exactly the same way. But before we get to that, we have a caller on the line. Rob, this is John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, John.
Got a couple questions for you. The most important question is, what happened to North Taiwan to football?
Very important.
Well, as mayor, that was one thing I was not in charge of, but they'll be back. I think they'll be back.
Well, yeah, I think it was 10 years ago they won the state championship. I went to the game. I grew up in North Taiwan, and I'll tell you, it's still a great community. It was a phenomenal community when I grew up, and I miss a lot of love. I'm heading up that way right now.
Oh, great.
But I wanted to talk about the taxes in Niagara County. Mike, I have two sisters that live in Niagara County. One operates a business, owns some real estate with her business, and the tax rates, from my recollection, are one of the highest between, like, in Niagara County and North Tonawanda and Niagara Falls. Very high tax rate. I'm not sure what the equalization rates are now because they don't make a difference in the impact. But is there any solution in reducing the tax rate in Niagara County?
Sure. Great question and a great point. And some of that is, you know, what goes into these numbers and it matters a lot. So in Niagara County, one of the we kind of touched on it is the housing stock. Specifically Niagara Falls. So if you look at the tax rate, if you took Niagara Falls out of the equation, I certainly don't think Niagara County would be in that, you know, highest tax rate per capita. So Niagara Falls drives a lot of that. And because also the values are lower, right? So you have higher taxes with lower values, and so that skews that figure a little bit. Doesn't make it wrong, just that's a part of that equation. North Tonawanda, Lockport are certainly lower. I don't know where North Tonawanda is specifically today. I think Lockport is a little higher, and North Tonawanda might be the lowest of the three cities. But I think an important point is what the governor has proposed in his budget. He's going to shift the Medicaid burden to counties.
Right.
That's certainly not going to lower.
It's already been shifted pretty heavily.
So that's not going to lower property taxes. That's actually going to certainly increase them and probably reduce services because counties will have to lay off, whether it's police, firemen, whatever it might be. So that's to the caller's point, to John's point, things like the current Medicaid burden drive up local property taxes, no question about it, whether it's in Erie County, Niagara County, or Orleans County. And what the governor is proposing is going to exacerbate that and make that work. So that's very worrisome for me and should be for every property taxpayer across New York State.
You know, Rob, it's interesting. Whenever they talk about increasing taxes, no matter what government it is,
sure,
governmental entity, and then they say, well, this is what we're going to do about it, they always attack the most painful points, police, fire.
Right.
As opposed to saying, well, gee, we've got this massive bureaucracy in this town or this city, but that's untouchable. And it's untouchable for a bunch of reasons. One fundamental reason is that once a bureaucracy is created, it's almost impossible to get rid of it. No, at any government level.
Yep.
And every law that's passed with the best intentions of every legislature is always accompanied by a set of regulations to enforce that mm-hmm. law. In order to enforce those regulations or interpret the law through the regulations and then enforce it, you have to create some body, some entity to do that, which is the bureaucracy. And it never gets smaller.
No.
It never goes away.
It never goes away.
And they talk about, and you could comment on this issue called sunsetting of a law. But I don't think the sun ever sets on any law, does it?
Not in New York. It certainly doesn't. I always say you look at the state like an organism. Every organism's goal is to
perpetuate itself,
right?
And stay alive.
That's right. And that's no different for a lot of government entities at a local level, at a state level, or beyond. I will say that because of the tax cap, a lot of local governments today, in fairness, are operating probably as lean as they have in a long time. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, they're certainly not doing their job, and I don't know how they're getting under the cap if they're not. So the cap has forced governments to be very lean. But again, when the state pushes additional costs onto them, you have an option of, okay, I can either provide the services that I'm supposed to provide, police, fire, public road mm-hmm. repaving, or I can pay my Medicare bill, which I have no control over because the state sets the criteria and right. who's eligible. And on Medicaid, a third of the state is on Medicaid today.
That's shocking.
And that is a bad number. Even if you care about the program, that's a bad number because there's a certain amount that you want, or that you expect to have on that number. I shouldn't say want. You'd like it to be zero. But you definitely don't want it to be a third going on 40% of your population on Medicaid because that program becomes unsustainable if that becomes the case.
Well, there's some fundamentals about that, which I'm sure you know. For example, that there's 36 programs under the Medicaid legislation yep. at the national level, and most states elect 7 or 8 of them.
Right.
We elect 33.
Correct.
Our Medicaid burden is more than Texas and California combined, and I'm sure you're aware of that too.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just like we're talking about, once these things are in place, they just don't go away. And it all relates back to what I'd asked you about earlier, and that is the competitive or lack thereof, the competitive nature of our position vis-a-vis other states
mm-hmm.
and what that means for you as a state senator and the people that you represent.
Yeah, I think we seem to, and we talked about this divide between the city and the rest of the state. I feel as though there is, under the current one-party rule, there seems to be, when we talk about we're the highest tax state in the country, when we talk about we're the highest, most expensive state to do business in, the least business friendly, there are legislators that serve with me who actually view that as a positive because in their minds, that means we're doing the most for those, right? That's just the way they look at it. Like, in other words, well, you represent Manhattan, and despite all of the taxes in New York City, despite all of the cost, Wall Street has continued to hum along, right? The economy down there continues to hum along, sort of in spite of that. The problem is in the rest of the state and the country, by and large, that is not how it works. If you are passing regulations and burdensome and increasing costs to do business and to live, people are going to vote with their feet, which has happened in New York State. Last year, we were for the first time ever, we had a net decrease, meaning with all of the refugees and immigrants who came here, we still lost more people than we gained.
There's a comment from a text that I'd like to read. Cuomo ships in illegal aliens, in parentheses, undocumented foreigners, and then makes the taxpayer pay the Medicaid and schooling for them. Unbelievable. When are we joining another state? There's a question for you. We've got to go to break. That's impossible. But I mean,
there is a bill that actually would separate. It would create like a District of Columbia situation for New York City.
Really?
And the rest of the state would continue as a state. I don't know what the likelihood of that, but there's a bill, and actually, it's my bill in the Senate. So.
No kidding. Well, we'll talk more about that when we come back. But it's interesting. I asked one of our governors that didn't make it quite through his term after he got elected. I asked him point blank at the Buffenauger Partnership, is it possible to write a bill, pass a bill that had different applicability upstate and downstate? And he said, absolutely, you could bifurcate bills. And I found that to be somewhat hopeful. We'll be right back with more from our Alistairs after these important messages.
Yes, you make.
Staying up to date with the latest news and what everyone's talking about is as easy as asking your smart speaker to play WBEN.
Playing news radio 930 WBEN on radio.com.
Hear WBEN anytime, anywhere. On the air at 930 a.m. Online at WBEN.com. And by asking your smart speaker to play WBEN.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. Mortgage rates have recently dropped, and now is an ideal time to purchase a home and lock in a low rate. If you're already a homeowner, let's discuss your current mortgage. There may never be a better time to reduce your rate or access the equity in your home by refinancing with Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 for a free, no obligation consultation.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the low-rate and closing cost guarantee. Call them today, 633-3700, before you enter the market. It's always a good idea to know exactly where you stand. One of our mortgage consultants will help walk you through that. Even if you think you might have a little bit of a credit issue, we can help you work through that and also put you on a plan to be in a position to buy a home, which is a critically important thing in today's economy. You want to get, no matter where you are, you want to be able to participate in the growth of the economy and the average person's means to do that is through real estate. Only 50% of the people in this country own one share of stock. Do you know that? Only 50% own even one share of stock. So 50% are the ones that can acquire wealth through real estate. And everyone can do that. And we encourage you to do that extremely.
I did not know that. That's unbelievable
in some ways. You know, so it's kind of shocking. We do have a couple questions here from text. Senator, please get the shackles of Medicaid off the shoulders of the county and have the burden placed squarely on the shoulders of the state. Of course, that's a nice thought.
It's a nice thought.
Worse yet, push it back.
Well, right. I mean, the problem is they want to push the full burden on the counties. And to your point, now I've had county executives say, if you allow me to decide which programs under the 33 programs
that I can elect, yeah.
If I can elect to decide which programs I want to cover. Fine.
No problem.
But if you're going to tell me I have to cover 33 and I got to cover the whole bill, that just doesn't seem fair. And it's exactly, that doesn't do anything to address property taxes. In fact, it exacerbates the problem. And the governor has to know this. He has to know this.
But what does he, I mean, he has to come into the Senate and the legislature and say something. I mean, I don't understand what the dialogue must be like, because how can he come in there and say, this will be great, this will cause people to want to come to New York State?
Sadly, the dialogue is more of, I'm going to do this, and if you don't want to do it, then you tell me where you're going to find the money. He wants to put the legislature in sort of an impossible, as I said, he wants their fingerprints on the murder weapon a little bit, right? He wants them to be able to decide, you're going to, because we have a funding problem, right? We have a spending problem in New York State, and we have a gap. And, if we don't get it, as I was telling you earlier, 40% of the state budget is funded by 1% of the population. Now, the 1%, some of the wealthiest people in the world, right? They live in New York City and Manhattan. They're the most highly mobile. And especially the upstate folks who are in that 1% or even not even that 1%, they are extremely mobile, and that's where people are leaving. And that's a structural problem that if that 1% starts to move, what happens to our budget, right? No one would tell you that if 40% of your budget was funded by 1% of your population, that is a good thing.
We've hit a chord in the public. The phones are lighting up here, so we'll take a couple of calls. This is Sonia from North Tonawanda. Uh-huh. Sonia, from your hometown. Sonia, how can we help you?
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Senator, I live in North Tonawanda, west of Oliver Street. And for decades, Oliver Street used to be a vibrant, vital place. We had mom-and-pop shops, bakeries, hardware stores, funeral parlors. Today, it's like a ghost town. You know how Main Street looks in Niagara Falls? That's pretty much how North Tonawanda has become, and it continues to deteriorate. For the life of me, I cannot understand, sort of, why our city has not been wanting to return Oliver Street. Our Oliver Street used to be like Elmwood used to be and is getting back to.
Mm-hmm.
Kirtle Avenue went down. It used to be vibrant also, went down, but it's come up. And businesses are wanting to move there, and new businesses are starting up. Oliver Street, it's getting worse and worse.
Well, let me stop you there, Sonia. I think we understand your point. What would you say, Rob? I mean, you know that mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. street very well. What would you? How would you respond to Sonia?
So Sonia's not wrong. I mean, for most of my life, Oliver Street was the one part of North Tonawanda that really, you know, and even today still leaves a lot to be desired. Now, I know that the local development corporation, the Lumber City Development Corporation, and the economic development arm has really focused on Oliver, because Webster, which they focused on in the first part of the, you know, the last 15 years, that's full. Webster Street has come alive, and there's been sort of certainly a resurgence. I know, you know, they have made a focus of Oliver Street, but it's certainly going to take, look at it, it's going to take, it didn't happen overnight. It's going to take a long time to get back. And I think there's been some growth and some new businesses on Oliver, but there's no question. I mean, Oliver's a long, as you know, it's a long street. And so you almost got to take it block by block. I think the blocks closest to Webster and downtown have started to see some growth and some mm-hmm. spillover. But where Sonia lives, and I know where she lives, that's going to take, there's some housing stock issues there. And
could you look at this along the lines of South Buffalo? I mean, Hurdle mm-hmm. and Elmwood Avenue had a population concentration that wasn't going away. So sooner or later, demand for retail and
yes.
office would return. But South Buffalo had a vastly deteriorating housing stock, and all of a sudden, through private investment for the mm-hmm. most part, some state help, it's come back alive, and housing has come right along with it. Is that possible in North Tonawanda and for Niagara Falls, for that matter?
I think absolutely it is, and I think you have to do something where Oliver Street was, you know, for many people may remember it as, you know, it had the record for the number of bars on it in the Guinness Book of World Records 1 year in the 1980s. And over the years, you had a lot of transient folks move on to Oliver who I don't think maintain their properties the same way, you know, a lot of homeowners do, right?
Right?
And so a lot of absentee landlords or out-of-town landlords, I think you have to sort of maybe try to
Wasn't it a job issue, though, and an underlying economic condition issue as much as it was anything? You know, if you cut through all this, Rob, and you know, we could talk about individual blocks
sure.
all across the state. But isn't it just how people feel about themselves, really, that causes a lot of development and upside? If people feel good about their own future, they've got
sure.
a job, they feel good about the schools their kids go to, they feel good about the police and fire protection, they feel good about the neighborhood, they know and like their neighbors, blah, blah, blah. Isn't that really what will drive this more than any kind of top-down or outside-in kind of funding or project?
No question. I mean, it has to be bottom-up at the end of the day. I do think that, to your point, you know, you had Roblin Steel. You had companies along Oliver that went on a business.
Right.
I'm sure the employees went with it or lost their jobs or whatever mm-hmm. it was. But the character of Oliver definitely changed, meaning Oliver Street in the 1980s, or as Sonia mentioned, even before then, was not the Oliver Street of 2000s or of my childhood.
We have so many questions and callers coming in here. One comment you might want to take back to Albany. I have 2 years until Remirant. After that, it's SIA, New York State. And, you know, that's a sad commentary. But I think people in Albany need to hear that.
Yes,
We're not making this stuff
no.
up. We're not waiting for a pot of gold from Albany. I don't think there's anybody in this part of the state that is. Certainly, developers that have sat in that chair have talked about how they have made good use of tax credits and other
sure.
programs that allow them to get jobs done and get work done in this community. But the fact of life is it's fundamental. It's fundamental issues like are raised here. Like there's talks about discussion about immigrants, and I don't want to victimize any group, and I don't want you to. But the green light law and the trusted traveler program, What's going to happen with all that?
It does sound, I was hopeful at the end of last week, because it sounds like there may, with regard to Nexus and Trusted Traveler, that there may be some sort of a compromise coming, which would be positive for the people of this region and certainly people who rely on those programs to get across the border, whether they be business or individual. But I think it highlights how really flawed that legislation is and continues to be. And it's just bad policy. And even other states that did laws with regard to driver's license, this was always about thwarting immigration enforcement and laws, by the way, which had existed under Democrat and Republican presidents. I mean, the laws haven't changed.
Right.
There might be more aggressive enforcement, but those have always been the laws. And I feel that this bill, the only intent was to thwart and make it harder for federal law enforcement officials to do their job.
But how can you, as a state senator, anyone, a state senator, not just you, Rob Ord, but any state senator, even vote for a law that clearly is in violation of national law?
Or
thwarts it or obstructs it in some way.
To me, it's an absolute violation of the oath that you raise your hand. When you get sworn in as a senator, you say, I'm here to uphold the laws
there's
of the Constitution.
But there's no consequence. There's no consequence at all.
No.
You do it and they're thumbing their nose at the rest of the nation.
Yes, complete. Well, and this is the result you get, is then you get regular people that are negatively impacted when the federal government responds like they have with the Trusted Traveler programs.
Well, you know, I have a global entry
card. And sure.
Mine expires at the end of the year. And I certainly hope you guys can figure something out in the next few months before I reapply and they tell me sorry. But, there are other comments here. And I don't want to – we've got only a few minutes left. And I never want to end the show on a negative note. But we've got people saying I am actively looking for buyers for my property just so I can get out of New York State. You know, I hate to hear that.
Me too.
Obviously, not just from a selfish standpoint being in the real estate business, but from a very – personal basis. I mean, I love this state. I think it's, and I know you do too. I've traveled far and wide. Fortunately, I've been lucky enough to do that. I've seen many places. Whenever I come back to New York State, I say to myself, if New York State was a separate country, it would be, in my mind, among the top two or three most beautiful countries in the world. And who would compare? We've got mountains, we've got great cities, we've got rivers, we've got canals, we've got two of the Great Lakes, we've got islands, and we've got Finger Lakes. We have the most spectacular towns and villages and colleges. And I mean, the infrastructure is spectacular in this state. And, you know, back to mention, how could we blow it? But we seem to have a gun out. We're pointing it right at our foot and shooting, pulling the trigger.
Yep.
So, I mean, in the last couple minutes here, give us your sense of hope being a state senator.
Sure. Well, I think that there's, you know, at the end of the day, the hope would have to be that enough people, and I get the drive to leave. I remember when I was coming out of college, we all said we were leaving, literally all of us. We couldn't wait to get out of there. Now, maybe that's something you say when you're 22, but a lot of us have come back, and I do think it's important if things are not going in the right direction. It's important that there's a group of people who stay here to say we need to change this. It's not going to change by me leaving. It's got to change by me staying and being a part of the solution. And that's certainly something that I have tried to do by staying here. I could have left when I was 20-something years old. I didn't. I met my wife. We stayed here. And I'd like to think that, you know, I continue to try to make this state better for my nephews and my nieces and my, you know, the future generations of my family. And my friends' families.
What will be one initiative, Rob, that you and your fellow senators on either both sides of the aisle could embrace that would do just as you say?
I think there's two things. I think infrastructure, we need, our infrastructure is crumbling. When you try to attract businesses and new companies and new folks, you need to have, you know, an infrastructure that looks like it's safe to drive on and looks like there's people who live here. I think the second one is mandate relief. We need to change the way we spend money in Albany and not just pass it on to local governments and then blame them for the property tax, rolls here in New York State. We need to change. If New York State or California and Texas can spend less money on Medicaid than us, we can do something about that too.
Combined. Anyway, Senator Robert Ort, thank you very much for being
with us. Thanks for having me, Peter.
How would our listeners get in touch with you if they wanted to?
You can reach out to me at Ort, O-R-T-T, at nysenate.gov, or you can give my local office a call at 716-434-0680.
Senator Ort, thank you very much for
being
with us this morning. I'd like to thank all our listeners for being with us. We'll be back again next week at the same time. Remember, when it comes to real estate, All of upstate is hunt country.
That's play with me in dog.
A Bite a Wee Dog or Cat adds a lot of love to your life. Be their hero. Change a life. Theirs and yours. Because love goes two ways.
That's feed me in cat.
Adopt a Bite a Wee Dog or Cat today. Visit our adoption centers in Manhattan, West Hampton, or at biteawee.org. Visit biteawee.org for more info. Bite a Wee. Finding loving homes for rescued animals since 1903.